Okay. This is Julie Fedorchak again with the Public Service Commission. We have reconvened for the admin portion of the July 8th meeting on the 12th floor of the State Capitol. I'll call this portion of the meeting to order. We have three items on consent. I move passage of those items.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for further discussion. Since none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion is approved.
Okay. And on discussion matters, we have two items. I've got two to add. We'll start with number one, which is MDU complaint discussion update from BP Kulk.
Yes, Madam Chair. The last time we talked about Stacy gave a really good update on the MDU complaint we'd filed with the individual that lost services. I thought it was a very good response, and we were tracking to have MDU to do that during a PI meeting update. Well, then Alana talked afterwards. She said, listen, they're in the middle of a gas rate case. This is a gas issue. It's not ripe for a PI meeting. It needs to be part of the rate case discussion. So I just wanted to share that with the two of you to make sure you're okay. So we'll kind of filter this into our rate case discussion and then maybe pick a different topic for the PI meeting that's already scheduled. I think that just seems appropriate. Did I miss anything, Stace? That's kind of all it was.
Okay.
So I guess
off
the cuff, MDU could give us an update on whatever you want. You know, your outages, this transmission, SPP integration, whatever they would think.
For the PI meeting.
The IRP.
Yeah, that would be good. Walk through sort of your thinking behind that. Yep.
So that's all it was, Madam Chair. If that's
Excellent.
Okay with it just seems prudent.
I think it's right.
Perfect. Okay, the second item is jurisdictional determination, Eco Energy LLC marketer for natural gas. And Mr. Hsu.
I distributed, or you should all have a letter that I prepared for the jurisdictional determination. Essentially, it sounds like Eco Energy, from what they sent us, will essentially be intermediary, similar to, I think, Rabo Energy that's in Bismarck at this time. They're not going to have any facilities, any pipelines to distribute the materials, and so they're kind of just, I guess, essentially buying and selling the actual natural gas, but not distributing it.
And so you've determined that they...
That they won't actually be a public utility.
Yep.
And so therefore they're not under our jurisdiction.
All righty. Any questions?
No, I think it's great work, Jack, and I think it's really nice when the companies, if they have a question, they ask us, and we give a determination. Instead of doing something, then we turn out it is our jurisdiction. So I don't know how they thought to ask us, but appreciate Eco Energy Fueling Solutions talking to us. Do you know how they knew to contact us at all? Or Pat, do you know? Just curious.
They called in to ask in a phone conversation, and something
made them think of that.
I suggested that they talk to their attorney. And see if they still needed to get an answer from the commission that they could do a jurisdictional determination request.
So just as a little bit of education for me, if you don't send to residential end users, you're not a public utility? Is that the key piece defining public utility?
I think the key piece here was actually the fact that they don't have any facilities for distribution.
Okay.
With this.
All right, because they're selling to customers.
Right, and mostly they'll be actually selling to, I believe, utilities themselves.
I see. Okay. Excellent. All right, Jack. Thank you. Appreciate that. The other one that you accidentally distributed yesterday, is that one done too?
That was an old one.
Oh,
I apologize.
I was confused by that.
Okay. Attached the wrong one to the email to Jerry.
All right. Sounds good. All right. I wanted to add two items. And I think they're fairly quick, but one item that I wanted to discuss was the decisions for who goes to NARUC. This came out of my discussion with Alana during our annual review. And she talked about, you know, a time back earlier in the commission when a lot more staff went to NARUC.
Well, it was, I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt.
And now it's pretty much commissioners who go. And I think it's worth discussing whether we want to revisit sending some of the staff who maybe haven't been here for as many years and don't have sort of the foundation of knowledge that our our current leadership does. But these folks, like a lot of the folks in PUD, Stacy, there's some really good agenda items on this conference's agenda relating to consumers. You know, Jack, there's so much going on with 111D, with some of this. I'm thinking about the panel discussion that I'm leading and in issues like that that might be helpful for Vic and his working with utilities. And so I guess I just wanted to throw it out. Brian, for your historical perspective, if you were here when there was sort of a decision made that we aren't going to sell staff or send staff for some reason, and then just to, you know, get everybody thinking about that again and if there's some reason why we can or can't do that.
No, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I got carried away. You know, there was always been, prior to my time here, there was some members of staff that maybe would go to NARUC, but it was really focused on Tony pretty much went to NARUC. Susan went a lot. But then when the advent of that, quote-unquote, stimulus dollars that came in for training and benefit of staff, we had basically 2 years where we had an ungodly amount of money for training for staff. So we basically just Katie barred the door with anybody we wanted to send to NARUC. We sent a whole bunch of people. And it was great. It was a great opportunity. But I think what happened was we all got used to having all this money, and then the money's not there anymore. So it's a budgetary question. I don't question people going, but it's just how do you pay for it? So the decision was basically, well, we got this money, let's use training. NARUC is a great place. Then the money wasn't there, so now nobody goes. And then there was a while, quite honestly, where when Tony was president of NARUC, Char would go with him as basically his admin assistant as his presidency works through, kind of like when John and staff goes through with Mark, but that's reimbursed. Right. So I think it's really a budget decision.
Well, it's something I wanted to talk, and we'll bring up at our directors' meeting as well.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get some of the directors thinking about that. Even prior to your time, Alana referenced time, you know, earlier than that, where staff went quite a bit, in especially on transitional time periods when there was major national issues being discussed on a regular basis at NARUC, which there are today with 111D and some of this gas electric coordination. And so it's a huge resource that exists for our staff, and I want to talk to directors about training as well and professional development and how we're handling that and working with staff in those regards in the upcoming year to make sure everybody is continuing to, you know, seek opportunities to beef up their skills and then getting the support from directors to do that and making sure we have the budget to cover it. So I just throw it out there. Do you have any initial thoughts, Randy?
Very initial thoughts. It's funny that you bring this up because on none of the previous NARUC meetings in the 2.5 years I've been here have I done this. But just yesterday, I looked at a list of registrants and changed it so it was listed by state and looked at a few of the states around us, not Minnesota so much because just not that much in common, but Wyoming and Montana and South Dakota. And I don't remember if it was all three of them, but either two or three had more than the commissioners going, but yet not a big delegation. You know, they were mostly, say, 4 or 5 or 6 people, mm-hmm. including the commissioners.
Yep.
So each one was, I think, usually taking one or two maybe. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of that in the neighboring states bringing some, but like I say, not large delegations either.
Right.
So it might be something to visit with some of our counterparts in some of the neighboring states to, if they've been doing that for a while, find out whether those are people that have some role on a committee or something like that, where they're playing a leadership role, or whether they are there to learn, and if the commissioners feel that it's been useful, if they've been doing that for a while.
Yeah.
So maybe we can learn more by the end of next week from our neighbors.
Sounds like a great idea.
I'd even offer up, Julie, you know, we're hosting Mark here next summer, so our staff will get to go to all that. But Mark, we can send people to the Mark conventions, too. That might be a little bit, like we did one in Pierre, that's not too far away. There's not the high-level discussion, but there's discussion there, too. Mm-hmm. But even like the end of this year, we did have some budget roll-up dollars. We could have did more with that. But then it's, of course, a,
right.
They're not here doing whatever it is they're supposed to do here.
Right, yeah. Well, it's certainly a balance, but, you know, the
not against
certain
it.
Times of the year it might be worthwhile. And I look at my committee that I'm involved in, the gas committee. There's folks from other state commission staff who play a huge role in those committees and are gaining a ton of knowledge from the industry as well as other state, you know, interactions with other states on some of these key issues that I think that would be helpful to have some of our staff being able to being exposed to some of that and thinking about how other states are doing, dealing with some of the issues that we're facing as well. So, plus having that network of people to turn to when you hit, you know, a new challenge. Like, I remember so-and-so in Nevada talking to me about this and having somebody to call. So anyway, okay, we'll continue that discussion at our director's meeting, and maybe we can find out from, like you said, Randy, from our counterparts, how they handle it. Okay, and then I wanted this follow-up with, we probably need to save this for Alana, but I'll throw it out today. It bothered me during the Dakota Access hearing when people, it's confusing to me, it must be confusing to the public when you have to be present to provide public testimony, when you can send a letter in and have it part of the public record, and what the difference is. And then, you know, in some cases, people show up and read a letter for somebody else, and that's okay, that's part of the record. But I just want to have a discussion at some point, or maybe you guys have a better understanding than I do about that issue and how we can better communicate it to the public. I think it's really difficult to understand why in this day and age you have to show up at a hearing to have your voice really be heard. Or maybe I'm not understanding how the public record, you know, the public, not the official record, but the public input record, how that comes to play in our decision-making process other than just informing our questions.
I can give you my two cents. And okay. Jack and Jerry do some cleanup, but the way you explain it, I think, is very accurate. But the way I've always did it is when a hearing comes and somebody reads somebody else's letter, somebody should object to that, but they don't usually do it. They just let them do it. But for us, I always give it the appropriate weight. Unless somebody is sworn in, like what Jerry just said, it's really, if you're going to base a decision on something that's not sworn testimony, it's not probably right. So, but for the public, we toyed about saying we wouldn't take public input, but then that just seemed wrong too, because if somebody wants to tell us something, they should be able to. So I always viewed the public input file as that's their right to do input, but I wouldn't use, if somebody emailed me something in public input, I wouldn't use that as a basis of a decision.
You hit on the key point, then, it's the swearing in. Maybe we should be changing the way we communicate that in our news releases, Stacy, to make it more clear that it's the under oath that makes it more official than
the cross-examining
and
that comes
part of
from
the
it.
Official record than just a letter that anybody can write that hasn't been sworn to be true. So it's a swearing in.
Yeah, if they're not sworn and the other side doesn't have a chance to cross-examine, it just can't be given as much significance. You know, someone says, well, you know, I know there's a cultural resource there, you just missed it. But they're not sworn. They just sent right. somebody with a note to that. But we can't stop a whole project because someone just said that.
Right.
But if they're there and can be cross-examined and prove their case, then it makes a lot more difference. And so, you know, I don't know either the best way to communicate that to people. Mm-hmm. But you do make a point. If we can maybe get that into our press releases, which is how most of them find out that we're having the hearing anyway.
Right.
Useful and helpful.
Yeah. I will start making that point too in my opening comments at hearings, just so that, you know, if we repeat this constantly, it's the swearing in. It isn't that we want to put people out by making them show up at our hearings. It's that it's, you know, under oath. It's a legal process, and people who testify at the hearings are taking an oath to truth.
It probably should serve as a reminder to our team, if someone starts reading a letter from someone who's not there to be sworn in, that objection be made, that be placed in more of the public, the mm-hmm. comment category, rather than considered as sworn testimony.
Yeah.
I think it was Kevin and Tony a while back, we said, because there was a time when we wouldn't take any public input after the hearing. Like, you take the emails would come in before the hearing, but then once the hearing was done, if somebody wanted to submit public input, mm-hmm. we just said, no, it's closed. But then somewhere in there, we softened that and said, oh, you really shouldn't be stopping public input. They can put it in all the time. And I think that's perpetuated the problem, where before we drew a hard line, even on public input, right. but now we're taking that, so it gets really confusing. The emails that all three of us have got about the recent hearings.
Yeah, the roulette thing. What do you do? You can't stop the public from writing you emails.
Sometimes things do change. I did take a Dakota Access call yesterday, and it was from somebody who testified at the Mandan hearing, and he said, you know, at that time, things weren't so bad, but things have dramatically changed, and so he wanted us to know that, and it's in the public input file. But so there is those instances where they may have already testified, but weeks have passed and something happened that they want to.
But then there's a procedure that, Jack, correct me if I'm wrong here, but if somebody wants to, they could petition to ask something be added to the record, and then, I mean, right, they can officially add stuff.
That's correct, and they would be able to reopen the record and put more stuff in, of course, subject to cross-examination. Both parties would have the ability to, I guess, have their say in the matter as well, in order to have that put in. But they do have the ability to do that. Mm. And I believe to some of the extent of not objecting to that, I think the staff and the other attorneys haven't been objecting to it on the staff side out of abundance of caution. They didn't want to keep information out. Right. However, the counsel from the applicant, they always could object to that, and the procedural judge would make a ruling on that. And as staff, I don't think that we'd be making a stance arguing for or against it in that regard. Mm-hmm. Because we wouldn't be representing them at that time.
But if we, and I'm not saying that we disallow them from even reading it, but if it's not clarified that it's not the same as someone delivering their sworn testimony that can be cross-examined, then aren't we kind of misleading the public into this feeling, well, you can just send something in any time, and it's as good as gold.
And I think the thought was, usually, if it's detrimental to the company, that they would be, you know, they should be objecting to it if they don't feel that it should be put on the record as well. Mm-hmm. I think that's been the thought process up to this point.
Yeah, their interest is greatest for objecting if they see reason to. Well, I think from my perspective, we need to be more clear in our communication to the public about the difference between public input and the record, and why there's that distinction, and why they have to show up and take the oath and put their comments in the official record if they feel that that's where they want them to be.
Sworn testimony.
Sworn testimony versus public input. So.
Great point.
Okay. I don't have anything else under discussion matters. Does anybody else want to add anything?
I was just going to say that I wouldn't mind talking with you two more of a scheduling, that we look at our August schedule with you guys both have travel. My China trip is solidified as far as dates, that I think we might want to look at August for meetings, if that's okay. We could do it in scheduling if that's all right.
Sure. All righty. Okay.
So we're ready
then
to
we'll move to scheduling. I have added, so we've got the FERC 101 briefing, Manitoba Hydro briefing. I've added the PHMSA semiannual meetings and Dakota Access work session.
NST Express.
Oh, yeah, and the NST Express hearing. We should probably do that one first. Do you have dates, Pat, in the August schedule?
I do.
All righty. Do you want to throw those out? This is for NST Express hearing.
The earliest and the only date in August that's available is August 7th date.
That doesn't work for me.
So then we have to go to September.
Okay.
September 7th or later. And it's because of the company that isn't
Thanks,
available.
Tammy.
Okay, so what was the time in September?
September could be 7th or later. There's a few that in there that don't work, but what do you have for September 7th or later?
Well, the 7th is Labor Day.
Okay.
So I have that open.
Yeah.
I was just ready to be agreeable. The 8th is the League Night Energy Council.
Yeah.
10th? 10th works.
10th works for me.
All right.
Where are we going for that one, Pat?
That's the next question, I guess.
Oh.
I think Alexandria. I mean, I
Alexander?
Think Watford. I'm Watford. Sorry.
I had a special request, kind of a little suggestion from somebody to see if we could hold it in Alexander.
Okay.
Commissioner Crisman.
Oh, really?
Well, I thought, I don't know what they've got up there. Maybe there is no meeting room. But with all the building, I would think that there probably is something. And, you know, if we drive over from Watford or Williston to Alexander, as opposed to everybody from there having to drive over to Watford or Williston, just thought it would look better and give us a chance to meet them on their home turf. But I'm not sure there is anything there. That
I'm not necessarily opposed to the idea, but we're getting a lot. We're going a long ways to get to their home turf already. I mean, Watford is a heck of a lot closer than Bismarck. So I think that. How far is it from Watford? 20 miles?
It's 22 miles from Watford to Alexander. And they do have a place. They do have a city hall. Yeah. It's fairly good size. And I did talk to Brittany, the auditor. And
can we get from Watford? Do we have transportation, Derek?
Well, I haven't figured that out yet. But if we...
That being a challenge.
Yeah, that would be a challenge.
Getting a ride from the airport to the hearings in Watford. So.
Well, if we don't do Alexander, for most of those people, isn't Williston closer?
I mean,
this is north of Alexander.
It's
I'm not sure what the distance
is. It's not very far. It goes south, though. I've got the map right here. And it goes, there's Alexander. Watford's what, down here or here?
Watford's.
Alexander's closer to Watford City, but not by much.
You know, it goes...
Yeah, but for most of these, I mean,
Williston's
right here.
Right here.
Yeah, well, we have to hold the hearing out here by the at the Ag Center.
Yeah.
We have to stay in the county.
We have to stay in the county.
Oh.
Sorry.
Okay.
Which county is it again? Is it Williams?
It's Mackenzie.
So we got to stay in Alexander then, or in Watford.
I don't feel strongly about it. If you guys can work out the details, it's the logistical details within reason and... You know, within a budget, I think that we can do it in Alexander, or we can do it in Watford. I'm fine with either. I think that the people in this area are probably pretty accustomed to going to Watford City and do so on a pretty regular basis. So,
I don't care. But if we do Alexander, let's start at 10, and if we do Watford, let's start at 9.
Okay.
Just give ourselves a little extra time.
Okay, and, you know, I'm not suggesting that we go through a lot of extra hurdles over it. It was just an idea I had because it's sort of out there in the middle. And if it gets to be burdensome lining up ground transportation, let's go with Watford then.
Okay. So you'll check on that, Derek?
I'll check with that. And
okay.
August 10th.
I'll work with Pat on that.
August 10th was the chosen date?
No.
September 10th.
Or September 10th, I mean. Sorry.
Yep, looks like it. September 10th. And we'll do 9 at Watford or 10 at Alexander. Okay. Then let's go back to the August schedule, get that looked at before we do anything on the FERC stuff. Well, so what were you thinking, Brian?
Well,
you
I guess
a
I was just
meeting on the
I was just kind of walking through here. If you go back to, okay, we've got a July meeting today. July 22nd, we have another meeting. And then we don't have a meeting until August 12th, which I leave the 6th and get back the 20th. So there's a meeting in there the 12th, which that's fine. If I need to miss a meeting, that's just the way it goes. But I thought that if we could just to let you know that, or we could do a meeting on the 30th of July and then not pick up a meeting, but that's such a long time. I just kind of want to let you guys know, I guess.
Should we switch our 22nd meeting to the 29th? And then do...
Then we could do... I just want to let you guys know what's going on, I guess. There's no good way to slice it because you and I have tricky schedules in August.
So are you suggesting we cancel the 12th?
No, I don't think so. I think that's too long, but just to let you know and staff know that there's really no way for me to functionally be at that meeting.
When do you return?
I return on the 19th late.
So the 19th wouldn't work either?
No. But no, I think the 12th is fine, but you know, if we had a meeting somewhere the 29th or 30th, anything that was on my portfolio I could do then, or you know, you guys are welcome to do. And I don't. If there's something controversial, we'd probably hold it over. But I don't think they're.
But do you want to do what I'm suggesting is rather than having the meeting on the 22nd, we give it another week and have it on the 29th.
I think that'd be fine.
And then that leaves less time for you between meetings for your portfolio. I mean, it's
the day we get back the 28th.
I mean, it doesn't increase the number of meetings, but it spreads them out for you a little bit more.
No, that's fine by me, actually, because we have a meeting in 2 weeks, but there's not a lot in the hopper right now because we'll all be gone next week anyway.
Yeah.
And what we have is MDU's PI meeting at 1:30. Stacey and I got a Mark meeting, but we can adjust that, right? Yes. Yeah, I think that'd be fine. I just wanted to highlight you guys. Okay.
So then we would do the 29th, and then we'd continue with the 12th of, and then the 26th, right? Or
have one on the 26th.
We've got one on the 2nd.
We have a formal hearing on the 26th.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I think that works out great. I think that'd be perfect. And then, I don't know, there's some weird fluke. Tony one time called in from China, didn't he, when he was gone? He Skyped in or something.
Middle of the night.
I just think unless there's something super de-dupery that has to be voted on, then I just think it'd be more realistic to do it the 29th or to later on.
All right,
on.
Well, let's move the 22nd. Let's reschedule the 22nd meeting to the 29th.
This is July now, correct?
July, yep.
Okay.
And I will...
And then we'll keep the rest of it as planned.
Yeah, that'd be helpful.
And then, Brian, can you tell me, you leave the 6th and return the 19th?
I leave the 6th and get back the 19th. And I'm sure I'm ready to go to work early morning the 20th.
Yeah, right. All right.
Is that it for that?
That's really it,
That's it for the August
schedule. It reminded me of something when you mentioned the 26th, having a formal hearing.
Mm-hmm.
I have the 25th and the 26th held.
As do I.
Is that a two-day hearing? Or... Are we just still playing that it's going to be one of those dates?
I don't know. Well, that's the ADP for 345 megawatt Mankato Energy Center. So we just decided that today.
No.
Say that again?
You issued a notice.
Notice for the power line.
For an October 15th hearing, what was that for?
Well, why is this on here? ADP 345 Mankato Energy.
That's the same here. He wants to be on there twice.
For October.
Did Mike delay it back or?
Well, we just did it for October 14th.
Mr. Diller, if you're listening, could you come in here and help us clarify the action we've taken on that formal hearing for NSP ADP 345 megawatt Mankato Energy?
And as I look at October 14th, there's a commission meeting that day.
Wasn't that the
15th?
15th.
For the formal hearing on NSP.
Okay, you know what? We had two holds on there. We had the 15th and 16th as a hold, so we should be able to release the 25th and 26th.
In October? So we were holding October dates and?
August
dates.
When did we hold those?
Gosh, a while ago. We threw those out like months ago. I remember that.
Just for the fun of it?
No, because Mike was trying to figure out what date.
How much time we needed?
Well, yeah. But we hadn't done the motion. We did the motion today.
No, we just
hold. Way back when we gave Mike dates that would work for us 2-day blocks.
Oh, we did?
And then he locked into those dates today.
So August we can cancel?
Well, he's here. Let's ask him. So this one on the 25th and 26th of August, that's the same one? We can get rid of that? Hold.
Well, there's an MDU case August 31st, but that's the only one I'm familiar with.
No, this is NSP ADP 345 megawatt Mankato Energy.
Yeah. No, that can be deleted.
On the 25th and 26th of August, right. We had those dates held.
We're not going to be there.
Okay. It wasn't by accident, one of the other ones,
I think Jack is right. It's just when we pushed back the MDU rate case, we made some adjustments. We juggled some things back to allow staff more time to work.
Okay.
That's probably what happened.
Okay. All right. So now we have the 25th and 26th available for other things. One of which might be the... These FERC 101 and Manitoba hydro briefings. Jerry, can we combine those into like 1 hour, then the next hour type of thing?
Well, the FERC one, we got a plan though, Jerry.
I'll tell you what, on the FERC 101 briefing, I visited with Patrick Clary, and I sent a couple emails on around. He's looking at the 15th to the 17th of September coming out here. We had our MISO briefings, or our
we have a quarterly
RTO update on the 15th.
Yeah, I thought that worked out well. Do them in the morning.
It'd be nice to do FERC in the morning.
Well, FERC in the morning, and then because we already kind of had that. That should be on your guys' schedule already, the afternoon of the 15th.
Right.
The quarterly transmission.
Right, yeah, so yeah. We could do the FERC and MISO in the morning, and then meet with the Otter Tail MDU and Excel in the afternoon, just to be a transmission day.
Yeah, not MISO, just FERC in the morning.
Okay.
And he would also like to maybe just do an hour or so with everybody, and then he'd, if possible, visit with the commissioners individually. So in that morning.
Who is the guy?
It would be Patrick Clary and Chris Miller. They are two FERC attorneys, I think, both of them, and they are stationed in Indiana at MISO.
They're assigned to be FERC's eyes and ears in the field by region.
Yeah.
So they roam around and go back and report to the commissioners once in a while.
And so they basically wanted to do a little discussion about how things work there at FERC and kind of like a FERC 101, and then they also wanted us to talk to them. Shouldn't be all one-sided. They'd like to hear a little bit about what's going on in North Dakota, too.
Okay. So how much time do we need for that? How much time do
we
need to schedule that morning?
Considering time for us to talk to him, too, about an hour.
Total?
And then after that, if you can have a few minutes to visit with commissioners individually.
Okay. So do we want to start? What time, guys? Do you want to start at 9?
Does anything ever get done in an hour that is scheduled for only 1 hour? I bet you that conversation goes longer than that.
Well, I was thinking we could have him start at 10, and he could meet with us individually at 8, 8:30, 9, 9:30 or something.
Or does he want to? Jerry said afterwards.
I don't said after. I don't care. Either way.
It's not like for an assessment. It can be before.
Yeah.
Sure. And then we've got 2 hours if we need it.
Yeah. All right. Let's leave a 2 hour.
101. Briefing at 10 with the individual meetings before.
Okay.
And I don't care which order you put me. I have the whole morning open. So
you want to
if we get done early, that's fine. He'll just come back at 1 and when we do the RTO early. Update, have a long lunch.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
So go ahead and schedule something for those individual meetings.
I think Randy down first because he's always here first.
Yeah.
And then Julie second. No, me second.
Doesn't
you got
matter.
Kids. Me second and Julie third.
So
you want to do like half hour? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah,
half hour.
So you look at 8 o'clock?
8:30. No, 9:39 and 8:30. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
I can sleep in that day.
All right. So you got that?
Say that again on those times.
Well, it'll start at
8:30, 9:00,
and 9:30. 8:30
for Randy, 9 for Brian, 9:30 for me. Okay. Daryl, are you doing that?
I got it.
Okay.
And then 10 a.m. for Gwena 1. All right. And put the names of those guys in there, will you please, Daryl? The fellows who are...
I'll get the spelling from you
okay.
later, Jerry.
Thank you. Then Manitoba Hydro briefing. Well, they're coming down here, right?
On that one, I met Audrey Penner at the stakeholder meeting, and she said that she'd met with you guys, maybe at Mark or something before, or at least with some of you.
A long time ago, maybe.
Probably.
But,
like met with us or just said hi after something?
It could have been. She had like blonde hair. And
oh, yeah.
I remember that.
You gotta remember that.
There's like 29 people after each meeting come up and say hi.
Yeah, and she has shoes on, too. Well, anyway, she remembers you. And she was thinking more along the lines of rather than having a meeting with everybody, she too would like to just visit with the commissioners.
Why?
I don't know. She just wants a chance to talk and introduce you to Manitoba Hydro and some of the stuff they've got going up. And she's thinking that it's just kind of a not having everybody in the world in the public and for it, just to visit with you.
I'm generally fine with that. However, it doesn't happen all that often, but every once in a while, Randy and Brian ask questions that I wouldn't have thought of.
I mean, I'm joking. Can tell her that
it happens a lot. I think it's good interaction to have us all because we think of different things and we all learn.
No, I agree wholeheartedly with that. It's
okay. Well, let's look at the dates, too, then.
Maybe because like the FERC thing. Maybe we could...
Yeah.
Appease her and do that individually, but then get together and have a kind of a group talk.
Yeah.
I can tell her that she'd like to, if she wants to meet individually, that's fine, but it'd be really nice to have a little presentation for everybody.
Right.
You know, they got a lot of stuff going on up there.
Right.
The new facilities and so forth. And
I'm really curious to learn about it. I've been frustrated that I don't know more about what they've got going
there. Having it with all of us is a good idea.
Yeah, because then
okay.
she can use
I can tell her that. But now let's get back to the date.
Jerry's keeping
because
it.
Sorry, Jerry.
Because she's only going to be in town on the 13th of August.
Oh,
and I heard my thoughts on that.
So she can... be around, you know, like a couple days before or after on that time frame.
Well, we have a pipeline hearing on the 13th of August.
Yeah, she has
so
a...
it doesn't work.
Greater North Dakota Chamber thing going on at the college over here on that day.
Well, we're tied up.
So how about on the 14th or the 12th, if we could get something in that time frame? Otherwise, if you can give me a time in that...
Brian will be gone, but, you know, we can...
Yeah, she realized that some commissioners would probably be gone.
I'm available at 1 on the 12th, and I would be available, you know, pretty flexible on the 14th if we wanted to do it in the morning so she could still leave. I'd be okay with that.
Same answer for me, so...
At 1 on 12 or any time or morning 14?
Morning of the 14th, mm-hmm.
And I'll ask her about, should we try to give her an hour?
Sure, I would guess it'll take an hour. They have.
I mean, in front of everybody, do you want
to? Let's do an hour general, and then if she wants to do some separate ones after that.
Okay, so is 1 on the 12th the general?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Morning 14. Okay, so she'll have to make travel plans and so forth. I'll shoot those dates to her and let you know for sure what
okay.
she can do.
Great.
So we want to hold then August 12th?
Okay.
Can you confirm it so
sure.
I can put it on the calendar?
Yep, for sure, Esther.
August 12th at 1, you'll hold. In the morning of the 14th.
And so morning on the 14th would be for Randy and Julie.
Unless, Brian, do you want us to just
say,
come back another time?
No, that's fine.
All right.
I remember talking to her, the lady with blonde hair and shoes. I'm sure I talked to her.
I thought you'd remember her.
Oh, boy. Okay, now.
I'm talking about that hydro project I've been following up.
PHMSA semi-annual meetings. Do we want to throw out a couple dates down the road for Pat to get those folks?
Why not?
Do we want to look as far as like October, September? What are we thinking?
Do they operate in the federal budget? Of course they do. September is their year end, right? So October might be better.
I'm very confused by their
calendar. Oh, because then it's July.
Well, there's quite a lot. The week of the 14th, we're busy with the transmission stuff. The next week, there's a number of annual meetings that we might want to take part of. So those 2 weeks are kind of toast. Mm. September 28th, that week is my birthday. So
the whole week?
Slow delivery, huh?
Yes. Mrs. Kalkas has her birthday month all of August.
I'm working towards that.
There's a note in my calendar that says, "We'll send wife flowers, buy wife gift." I didn't put it in.
Oh, that's funny. I'm working on a week-long celebration. I've noticed some that my friends have, and I'm thinking, it's a good policy. I like that.
Why not?
Oh, all right. So I could squeeze in, though, that week time for a PHMSA semi-annual meeting if we wanted to throw out some times that week. Are you guys around?
What week are you talking, the 28th?
The week of the 28th.
Of September.
Yep.
The 1st, I'm not around, and the 30th, we have our meeting. So 28, 29, 2.
Yep.
Those are good. The 28th, the rest of the week is shot. 28 and 29 are wide open, though.
Okay, let's throw out the 29th as one possible date. We're pretty open on times. And this would be, I'm thinking, a conference call, Pat. Let's pick two dates in October and call it good.
Are we looking at like an hour, couple hours? Or?
Hour and a half, I'd say. Hour. We can block off an hour and a half, but it might just take an hour.
Oh, I suppose we leave it up to them whether they want to come here or
they could
conference in.
Huh? Right. Knowing how.
I hate to make it sound like we definitely don't want them to come.
Right.
Just call. It's good enough.
Yeah. I'm just trying to conserve their budget. Allow them to use more of their budget for training.
Yeah.
Hiring trainers. The week of the 19th of October looks pretty decent from our schedule.
That's OMS that whole week.
Oh, you're tied up that week. Okay. That's why it looks so good.
That's why it looks so good.
Let's see, the week of the 12th.
The 12th and 13th are open, and the 8th and 9th is what I got.
And we also have the 14th that afternoon, the informal. We could use that time.
Sure.
October 14th. You okay with using that informal time?
Sure. Seems like a long ways away to eliminate our informal, but I'm okay with it. I suppose we can... If we need an informal, we can have it at a different time, too.
13th is pretty open, too. October 13th.
Really, any of those work for me. I'm okay with the afternoon of the 14th. 13th is good. 12th, 9, 8.
All right. So we'll throw those, Pat. We've got September 29th, October 13th, and October 14th in the afternoon as starting dates. Hour and a half.
For the first meeting.
For the first, yeah. And then we can schedule from there. All right. And we can get them kind of some agenda items that we'd like them to be prepared to talk about, and they can add their own as well, so we can kind of put together an agenda collaboratively with them for that.
Did the commissioners want to put together the agenda?
I guess from my perspective, there are certain things I'd like to hear from them, So I would want those included. These guys probably have some ideas, but I wouldn't want to exclude them from offering some suggestions of their own as well if they had things they wanted to offer.
I think you heard our thoughts this morning, Pat. You could just send an email and say the initial concerns are not enough training spaces, how did North Dakota inspection protocol for interstate staffing?
Staffing in North Dakota, and also just sort of an update on what they're finding. I mean, a report on their inspections in North Dakota. If they can provide that, I don't know. But
if you think, well, we'll give them an agenda when it gets closer to the meeting. So if there's anything else you think about that you want to hear about different from what we heard this morning, or we can add that.
All right.
And by the way, my apologies for not making it to the meeting. I fully intended to, and as our open government is in North Dakota, someone showed up at the office unexpectedly and just took a while, and so I didn't make it.
All right. Then the last thing I wanted to talk about was a Dakota Access work session, but Julie's not here. Is she around? Okay, maybe we should grab her because I don't have any dates or anything.
Jerry, can we do a work session on the Roll That Wind yet, too? We could schedule that.
Do you want to wait for the briefs and the proposed?
Let's see. Maybe we'll schedule that after Dakota just to see, even if we put it on the map somewhere.
Well, there's, in this one, too, Dakota Access, there's a fair number of things outstanding. But I'd like to keep us talking about it because it's so complicated. And And I think that we could have an initial discussion, just getting our feeling from the hearings and stuff.
Okay.
And so that's sort of what I'm thinking of in this regard.
Good idea. We're not going to make a decision in one work session.
No. And
yeah, and especially in Dakota Access, but Rowlett Wind, I don't think it would be a bad idea either. If we,
you had the same kind of thoughts with Northern Excavating, too.
Well, we might as well schedule them.
Yeah. Should we just look for a block for work sessions? Let's look for like a 3-hour block of time.
That's a good idea.
And try to get some work sessions all together. Now that's kind of hard with the attorneys sometimes. Okay, so we got to look. I'm looking like on the week of the 24th
of
August. Because, well, I mean, we could do it sooner. I'm not opposed to doing it sooner.
No.
I think sooner would be better.
Sooner would be better now that I'm thinking about it, yeah. The week of...
I can tell you this. August 4th and 5th are open for me, but I think there's a reason because that's your travel week.
Yep.
August is going to be really tough with the schedules until we get out to the 24th, like you said.
And how are you looking for, like, the week of July 20th, last 2 weeks of July?
Well, the last week we're shot. Southwest Power Pool, commission meeting, formal hearing, conflict on the 31st. But the 20th.
What about the
29th?
The 22nd. What about the 22nd? We just cleared that day out.
Yeah. Or the whole morning. The morning of the 22nd. We'd have to coordinate with the attorneys. I would also throw out, just for scheduling possibilities and discussion, the Monday the 20th.
That work.
I have some time that morning as well.
That works for me, and you know, we're going to have, I don't know, do we want to leave 2-hour blocks so that we don't have to interrupt discussion and we have some time to regroup? You know, you can't drag all your stuff for Dakota Access in here to look through notes and talk about it and then wrap up, and then all of a sudden here we're ready to go into Rowlett Wind, and you got to go drag all this stuff out and get other information in. If we ended up with a half hour or an hour break in between them, it wouldn't be a bad thing either.
Can we do the Rowlett Wind like on the 22nd? Because I have an appointment on the
20th. Okay. Yeah, and we could separate it the 22nd at 10 in place of our commission meeting.
We could even do like Randy said, do one work session at 9 and the second one at 10:30 in the morning. And we got a director's meeting at 1:30, and we could do the last work session at like 2:30 or 3.
Yeah,
it's all long.
And are we free on the 20th if some of these attorneys and such can't make it on?
Except for the wind farm, because Jerry's got something.
Yeah.
I have an appointment at 3 on the 22nd.
Okay. Let's do one on the 20th.
So we could do one of those on the 20th. Actually, we could, except for Jerry's, we should commit to Jerry's, the roulette one, on the 22nd. But the other two could float between the 20th and the 22nd with kind of the same kind of schedule, an hour and a half for each. So is that clear as mud?
The 20th,
we could do, we could do 8:30 or 9 till an hour and a half, and then so Dakota Access or...
maybe we should just pick it, and if the attorneys can't do it, they'll get back to us. Because some of this, I don't even know, like, let's say the attorney couldn't make it for Dakota Access. We could still have a worthwhile discussion.
Yeah. Well, haven't we just pretty well eliminated after 3 on the 22nd, we have to be done. And was there something on the 20th, times part of that day where we couldn't do it?
No, Jerry can't do it, though.
Oh, okay, and the Rowlett Wind can't be on the 20th. But other than that, just go see between those 2 days which of these we can all get scheduled in there.
And let Esther know.
We don't need any attorneys other than Jack.
Oh, that's true.
So we could pick at 9 o'clock on the 22nd for the Rowlett Wind.
Okay.
To dial that one
in. 3 a.m.
So it's just incumbent upon them to figure out how to get here if they want to.
Come if they want.
So 9 o'clock for you guys. Okay. For that, for 9 o'clock, the 22nd for Rowlett Wind. Then, Julie, you can go to Zach for Dakota Access and see if either the 20th or the 22nd work better. He could do it 10:30 on the 22nd. Or one. No. Well, yeah. We're doing. No, we've got a 1:30 meeting that afternoon. 10:30 on the 22nd or anytime on the 20th.
Before 3.
I suppose 3. On the 22nd.
No, I have a 3 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
We only do one on the 22nd.
No, we could do another one. Well, yeah, another one.
Okay. Got rolled. Yeah, we could do a 10:30 on the 22nd.
10:30 or anytime on the 20th.
And was there a third? We got Rowlett Wind, Dakota Access, and
Northern Excavating.
Northern Excavating.
No, that's the same kind of thing. Who's the attorney? Oh, Mitch is the attorney on that one. Okay.
He'll be tough. His schedule will be tough. Okay, so you guys check in with them and then see. Oh, yeah, no, well, he can't be.
So who's it? Was it Jack? Casey. You were Jack, and so that's Casey. Jack again.
It was Casey and Jack.
But Jack's there, so yeah, we might as well schedule that one then, too. No, you want to save the time just in case we need to flip him around. I see.
Yeah. All right. So check with Zach. He's kind of the linchpin.
Let me know.
Okay.
Let Esther know.
All right. So.
Do you want to schedule a Dakota Access work session later in August, too?
We could do that. We could set another one, for that August, the week of the 24th, weren't we looking at? I think the 24th because the 20. Oh, wait. No, those 2 days we got rid of now. So any of those days are open, the 24th, 5th, and 6th.
The 25th, I would like to do something else if I can, but the 24th and 26th would work.
Want to throw those dates out to Julie for the second Dakota Access? If Zach can't be there the first time, we'll still meet.
Yeah, I think that's appropriate.
Okay. Does everyone have that? Do you understand, Daryl?
I think so.
I'm driving tomorrow, too.
You're driving separate?
Yeah.
All right. And you are, too?
You're not driving.
No, I don't.
You're right.
No, I'm riding.
Okay. With the group? With the cool group?
Jack is driving, by the way, so I just want to know.
Oh, well, then let me think about that again.
All right.
You got us safely to
Roulette.
Rolla. Roulette.
Yeah. And we drove up to Crosby that time. got there in time for the best steak salad I've ever had that I had to eat in 2 minutes. All right, I don't see any items under other, so unless somebody has something else they need to talk about, this meeting is adjourned.